Welcome to the Amdocs fourth quarter 2014 earnings call. My name is Ellen, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Matthew Smith, Head of Investor Relations. Mr. Smith, you may begin.
Thank you, Ellen. Before we begin, I would like to point out that during this call, we will discuss certain financial information that is not prepared in accordance with GAAP. The company's management uses this financial information in its internal analysis in order to exclude the effect of acquisitions and other significant items that may have a disproportionate effect in a particular period. Accordingly, management believes that isolating the effects of such events enables management and investors to consistently analyze the critical components and results of operations of the company's business and to have a meaningful comparison to prior periods. For more information regarding our use of non-GAAP financial measures, including reconciliations of these measures, we refer you to today's earnings release, which will also be furnished with the SEC on Form 6K. Also, this call includes information that constitutes forward-looking statements. Although we believe the expectations reflected in such forward-looking statements are based upon reasonable assumptions, we can give no assurance that our expectations will be obtained or that any deviations will not be material. Such statements involve risks and uncertainties that may cause future results to differ from those anticipated. These risks include, but are not limited to, the effects of general economic conditions and such other risks as discussed in our earnings release today and at greater length in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, including in our annual report on Form 20-F for the fiscal year ended September 30, 2013, filed on December 9, 2013, and our Form 6-K furnished for the first quarter of fiscal 2014 on February 11, 2014, the second quarter of fiscal 2014 on May 15, 2014, and the third quarter of fiscal 2014 on August 18, 2014. Amdocs may elect to update these forward-looking statements at some point in the future. However, the company specifically disclaims any obligation to do so. Additionally, we are pleased to mention that our analyst and investor briefing will be held on Tuesday, December the 16th at the NASDAQ market site headquarters in New York City. Please contact Investor Relations for further details and check our Investor Relations website several days in advance for details on how to access the live webcast. Participating on the call with me today are Ellie Gelman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Amdocs Management Limited, and Tamar Rapaport-Dagim, Chief Financial Officer. With that, I'll turn it over to Ellie.
Thank you, Matt, and good afternoon to everyone joining us on the call today. We delivered a solid performance in our fourth quarter, and I'm pleased to report that we concluded fiscal 2014 with diluted non-GAAP earnings per share growth of 8%, which was above the midpoint of our guidance issued at the start of the fiscal year. Overall, we believe fiscal 2014 was a year of significant growth and progress for Amdocs. We successfully executed on some of the industry's most complex transformation projects. We further invested in our market-leading portfolio, as demonstrated through the release of Amdocs CES9, and we would leverage our M&A and R&D activity to enter new domains, such as radio access network optimization software and network function virtualization. Additionally, demands for our products and services remained strong throughout the year and across regions. This resulted in a number of significant wins, which enhanced our competitive position within new and existing customers. Let me take a moment to elaborate on this. In North America, we closed out another strong year with a record quarter. AT&T remained an important contributor to the performance in fiscal 2014, but activity levels were healthy across the region as we supported key customers such as Bell Canada, Sprint, and Telus with modernizations designed to respond to rapidly changing market dynamics. In Europe, we are pleased with our overall performance for the year despite headwinds from foreign currency fluctuations in fourth quarter. During fiscal 2014, we strengthened our relationship with influential carriers such as Vodafone Group, where we expanded our managed services activity to 7 affiliates. Additionally, at Vodafone Germany, we successfully completed the consolidation of 5 legacy systems into one Amdocs operational support system. This new OSS system, which commenced live production in the fourth quarter, is believed to be one of the industry's largest ever data migration within the OSS field, according to Vodafone. In the emerging market, revenue growth was moderate in fiscal 2014 as we focused on bringing several highly complex transformation projects into production. During the year, we made significant progress expanding our relationship with strategic customers such as Telefonica. In the fourth quarter, Telefonica Argentina selected Amdocs to manage a range of its business support systems applications, and this is in addition to the previously announced transformation awards at Telefonica Argentina, as well as those of Telefonica affiliates in Peru and in Chile, and further demonstrate the value and expertise we are able to bring to this major project. Our regional performance also includes our strategic initiatives in the network software domain. During the fourth quarter, a leading carrier in the developed Southeast Asia market deployed the Amdocs self-optimizing network solution, including our customer expertise experience analytics, to improve its 4G coverage. Additionally, we recently announced a new offering and enhancement to support customers' activities in the area of network function virtualization, NFV. Now moving to our fiscal 2015 outlook, let me add some color around our core business on a regional basis. Beginning with North America, we expect overall growth rates to moderate in fiscal 2015 after a strong performance in fiscal 2014. This outlook reflects normal variations in account activities. Additionally, we remain subject to lingering uncertainties resulting from the announced consolidation activity in wireless and pay TV market. Taking into consideration the various scenarios which could result from the combined impact of these consolidations, we believe the anticipated headwinds are the same or better relative to our assessment as of last quarter. That said, we cannot predict all possible outcomes, especially those that might result from future consolidation in our market or from an unplanned cancellation of a customer merger activity currently in progress. In Europe, we are pursuing long-term growth opportunities with some of the regional largest carriers by leveraging our improved competitive position and highly relevant product and services offering. Nevertheless, we expect macroeconomics and regulatory conditions to remain challenging, and quarterly trends may be difficult to predict within the context of the full year. In the emerging market, we continue to see positive long-term growth trajectory based on project awards already in pipeline in the backlog and the pipeline of opportunity ahead of us. Additionally, our growing reputation is positioning us to participate in further opportunities within the larger operators in the developed Southeast Asia and the developed Latin America. Nevertheless, quarterly trends will continue to exhibit lumpiness, primarily owing to the project orientation of our customer engagements in these regions. To summarize the fiscal 2015 outlook, we feel good about our full year prospects and our ability to maximize the total return we provide to our shareholders. More specifically, I believe there are multiple vehicles which may help us to execute on this objective. Let me elaborate. First, we expect to deliver revenue growth of 2.5% to 5.5% for the full fiscal year. This outlook takes into consideration macro and industry-specific risks and unknowns, although, as I mentioned earlier, we cannot predict all possible outcomes. Second, the company retains the capacity to drive strategic growth through M&A in fiscal 2015. This is not factored into the outlook provided. We see a rich pipeline of M&A opportunities, but as demonstrated with our network software initiatives, we are disciplined in our approach and we act when we find right targets that fit our strategy and at the appropriate time. Third, we expect operating margin to be within a new range of 16.2% to 17.2% in fiscal 2015, the midpoint of which is roughly comparable with our performance in fiscal 2014 and about 20 basis points higher than the midpoint of our prior range. This outlook is consistent with our previously stated goal to maintain or improve margins over the long term and reflects consistent operational execution and internal efficiency improvements balanced with strategic business initiatives and that drives future growth. We remind you, though, however, that the margins may fluctuate within the stated range in any given period. Fourth, we remain committed to the disciplined return of cash to shareholders over the short and long term. During the fourth quarter, we executed on our share repurchase program at levels substantially above that suggested by our flexible 50/50 framework, and we plan to maintain a fairly similar approach relative to our 50/50 framework in the early part of fiscal 2015. Fifth, we continue to believe in the value of dividends as demonstration of our confidence in the future success of Amdocs. Within this context, we are pleased to announce that our board has approved our recommendation to increase the quarterly cash dividend by nearly 10% to $0.17 per share. This dividend increase will be subject to shareholders' approval at our annual meeting in January and will be payable in April 2015. I would like to remind you, though, that future changes in the dividend will be subject to periodic review and will be tied to the underlying growth rate of our business and overall capital requirement. Finally, we are excited to invite you to join us for our formal Analyst Investor Day on Tuesday, December 16th. We will host the event at Nasdaq MarketSite headquarters in New York City's Midtown, during which we look forward to providing you with an updated view of our strategic initiatives in the area of NFV, Network Function Virtualization, and BDA, Big Data Analytics, as well as our updated three-year operating outlook. With that, I will turn the call over to Tamar.
Thank you, Eli. Fourth fiscal quarter revenue of $900 million was within our guidance range of $890 million-$920 million, with a negative impact from foreign currency fluctuations of approximately $6 million relative to the third fiscal quarter of 2014. Excluding foreign currency headwinds, revenue performance was in line with the midpoint of our expectations and was driven by continued strength in North America. Our fourth fiscal quarter non-GAAP operating margin was 16.8%, an increase of 10 basis points compared to the third fiscal quarter of 2014, and within our target range of 16% to 17%. Below the operating line, non-GAAP net interest and other income was $1.8 million in Q4, reflecting positive contribution from other income. For forward-looking purposes, we continue to expect a non-GAAP net interest and other expense in the range of a few million dollars quarterly due to foreign currency fluctuations. Diluted non-GAAP EPS was 78 cents in Q4, compared to a guidance range of 75 to 81 cents. A higher effective tax rate negatively impacted non-GAAP EPS in Q4 and was primarily attributable to an increase in accumulated tax provisions resulting from recent changes in tax rates in a certain jurisdiction. Free cash flow was robust at $163 million in Q4. This was comprised of cash flow from operations of approximately $193 million, less $30 million in net capital expenditures and other. As a reminder, over the long term, free cash flow tends to convert at a rate on par with our non-GAAP net income. DSO of 73 days decreased by 3 days quarter over quarter. The total unbilled receivable were down by $3 million as compared to third fiscal quarter of 2014. Our total deferred revenue, both short and long term, decreased by $58 million sequentially in Q4. As indicated in the past, both of these items may fluctuate from quarter to quarter. Our cash balance at the end of the fourth fiscal quarter was approximately $1.4 billion, though net of short-term debt, it was $1.2 billion. We drew down $210 million on our credit facility in Q4 for short-term funding purposes, and the balance has since been fully repaid. Our 12-month backlog, which includes anticipated revenue related to contracts, estimated revenue from managed services contracts, letters of intent, maintenance, and estimated ongoing support activities, was $3 billion at the end of the fourth fiscal quarter, up $30 million sequentially. During the fourth fiscal quarter, we repurchased $110 million of our ordinary shares. We completed our prior $500 million program and had $714 million remaining under the more current $750 million authorization as of September 30. Now, turning to our outlook, we expected revenue to be within a range of $895 million to $925 million for the first fiscal quarter of 2015. Embedded within this range, we anticipate a negative sequential impact of approximately $6 million from foreign currency fluctuations. For the full fiscal year, we expect total revenue growth to be within a range of roughly 2.5% to 5.5%, including an anticipated drag from foreign currency fluctuations of about 1%. Incorporated within this outlook and consistent with our prior expectations, we anticipate revenue from our directory business in fiscal 2015 to decrease in the double-digit percentage range, placing about 1% drag on the total company results. As Eli discussed, we anticipate our non-GAAP operating margin for fiscal 2015 to be within a new target range of 16.2 to 17.2%. We expect our non-GAAP effective tax rate to be in the range of 13 to 15 for fiscal 2015. We expect the first fiscal quarter diluted non-GAAP EPS to be in the range of 77 to 83 cents. Our first fiscal quarter non-GAAP EPS guidance also incorporates an expected average diluted share count of roughly 160 million shares and the likelihood of a negative impact from foreign exchange fluctuations in non-GAAP net interest and other expense. We excluded the impact of incremental future share buyback activity during the first fiscal quarter, as the level of activity will depend on market conditions. For the full fiscal year, we expect to deliver 4.5 to 7.5% diluted non-GAAP EPS growth. Our full-year EPS outlook does factor in expected repurchase activity over the year. As Eli mentioned earlier, we plan to execute on our share repurchase program at levels substantially above that suggested by our 50-50 framework in the early part of fiscal 15. Finally, we expect the total return we deliver to shareholders will be enhanced beyond the earnings growth outlook by our dividend program, which, in the new quarterly dividend rate, is approved by shareholders at the annual meeting in January, would yield about 1.4% on the current share price. Therefore, in fiscal 2015, we expect the sum of our diluted non-GAAP EPS growth plus a dividend yield to equate to a total shareholder return in the mid to high single digits. With that, we can turn it back to the operator to begin our question and answer session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Please limit yourself to one initial question and one follow-up. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. The first question is from David Kaplan with Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Could you talk a little bit about the mix of the revenues? Seems the license revenue has been fluctuating quite a bit. If you look back to last fiscal year and even this year, third quarter had a kind of strange mix, and the fourth quarter seems to be back in line. What is happening there with the licenses revenues that have to do at all with the regional mix, or where's that coming from?
So, David, thanks for the question. As we said in the past, license is becoming less and less a relevant indicator for us, as almost the majority of the deals that we have are full project responsibility rather than just selling the product license on its own, which means that the overall negotiation and the deal value as a whole are the key parameters we're looking at, and not the license portion itself. While saying that, we are focused more on the maintenance revenue, the stream that is, of course, recurring later on in terms of the overall negotiation from that point of view. So you will see fluctuations. It has to do with what are the projects that are specifically moving farther ahead within a given period and what is the license portion classified within this project. But I don't think you should put too much into it, not in terms of the revenue. And as you can see, these fluctuations are not having any material impact on our margins as well. So I just wouldn't put too much into it.
Okay. And then just on the regional mix, the emerging markets, I think, kind of seem to have weakened somewhat or slowed into the fourth quarter. Is that just a timing issue again, quarterly fluctuation, or did something change?
Yeah, we continue to be very excited about our progress in emerging markets in terms of both the winning deals and the backlog building being built, as well as the pipeline. What you see in the revenue fluctuations from quarter to quarter is just a result of the fact that it's primarily project activity in these regions. So the different mix of how different projects progress can have an impact on a quarterly basis. But the overall vector continues to be a vector of growth.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you, David.
The next question is from Shaul Eyal with Oppenheimer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, Eli, Tamar, and Matt. Not trying to front-run your mid-December analyst day, but on the FDN front, Eli, are you already cooperating, or will you be cooperating with some of the big players in the virtualization arena?
What do you mean by big players? I think it's our customers there are the biggest in the world, okay? In terms of carriers and the people that would need virtualization on the network software front, and the competitors are the biggest in the world. So it's going to be interesting, yes.
Got it. Okay. Seems to me there was no one specific point, but rather a combination of points you brought up during your prepared remarks, like consolidation, Europe, macro. What's the main factor which drives the slightly more conservative stance on the revenue, specifically regarding fiscal 15?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that we have a more reserved view on fiscal 2015. If I compare it to our view ahead of 2014 or ahead of 2013, we feel actually as good or better about the market and our the relevancy of our product and service and so on and so forth. So I do not share this. We are trying to give as much as color as possible to all the potential upside and as well as some of the issues we have. And I think that fluctuation in foreign currencies definitely bothers us in Europe and some other areas. Consolidation in North America, you know, we said that, you know, part of it is a good thing. Part of it is, could be representing some short-term pressure. We believe that overall consolidation is actually good for Amdocs. We've seen it all around the world and throughout the years. We have some, you know, big competitors we need to be concerned about because we are moving into new fields. But other than trying to give you some color on all the issues we have, I would say that we are walking into this year better prepared and with better view of our chance to win the marketplace than we had a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, probably the most technical explanation, Shaul, just given the recent movement in rates. Just to remind you, we are talking about a 1% drag. So constant currency basis, the growth midpoint is 5% actually, not the 4.
In other words, what we know today on FX, kind of reset or present a reset of 1% before we even start the year.
Understood. That is quite helpful. Good work. Thank you very much. Speak soon.
Thank you, Joe.
The next question is from Ashwin Shirvaikar with Citi. Please go ahead.
Thank you, good evening, guys. I guess my first question is with regards to the assumptions that you're making to get to either the top or the bottom of the range. Because the way I kind of look at it is last year you guided to 4 to 8. This year is 2.5 to 5.5, but you have a percent adjustment from currency and a percent adjustment from the directory business, I guess. So it's equivalent to more like 4.5 to 7.5. So in some sense, are you moving towards that, towards sort of a long-term mid-single-digit, you know, range that you consider safe? Is that how one should look at it?
No, the first thing you have to remember that going into the FY14, if you're talking about the fiscal guidance, we knew some of the effect of acquired company. So you have to, if you want to compare it, you really need to remove almost probably 2% from the previous from the previous year.
Even more. So remember, we guided the 2-3% going into fiscal 14. When we talked about 4-8%, we said that 2-3% are coming from the acquired company.
Oh, right, that's right. Yeah.
So if you take this one out, it's actually the 4.5 to 7.5 is actually quite a good calculation you made, plus minus 0.5% or whatever, but that's all without M&A at all. And in FY14, we moved into the year, we knew that more than 2% of it is related to M&A.
I guess the point
is strategic. We're not sorry for that, but we have to compare apples to apples.
No, the point I'm trying to get to though is that you outlined a long list of factors which you know, as sort of a reason for being quote unquote conservative, but really your performance this year or expected performance next 12 months is better than the organic performance 12 months ago, right?
That is true.
We were not trying to be conservative, Ash, when we were trying to give some color about the uncertainties that we see in the market, just to share with you what's out there, because North American consolidation, of course, is a factor planning for the year. And also to shed some light about what are the different moving parts. So when we're looking into the outlook, we feel there's a good momentum in the different regions as we spoke about it. We are taking into consideration the moving parts and things that can happen within the year. Of course, we cannot factor all scenarios as we explained, and hence the range. But I don't feel we were trying to hint that there is a any more conservatism or concerns going into this year? Not at all.
Since both you and Shaul, who are very experienced and know the company well, have a concern about it, we need to count the number of words we said about you know all the concerns. We're basically trying truly to give you color. I would be very surprised if any one of the colors that we added surprise you. It's all there, But again, we are very accurate people, so we cannot say something without saying what bothers us. If you ask me the bottom line, you are right. And that's what I tried to answer Shaul as well. Going into the year, we actually feel stronger this year than we felt a year ago and 2 years ago.
Understood. If I can ask one question on the network side of things, as you added some of these products around optimization, virtualization, so on, the nature of those of the work that you're signing, is that more project oriented, and is there a possibility that you can down the road convert that into a little bit more of a managed services offering, which gives you more visibility?
So it's a very good question. We think it's potential, but I don't think it's anytime soon. So the right now, the nature of most of these projects are project orientation. However, you need to remember that in opposed to an IT pure project, when you need to build the entire infrastructure, even for one-tenth of the customer base, in the network space, you build it gradually by region or by technology or by whatever. So you would do optimization of 3G network in a city. Then you go to the next city and you do the same thing. So expand incrementally. So this project has a tendency to repeat as you go into new cities and then new technologies and so on and so forth. So that's one thing that you have to remember. So it's project-oriented, but it's slightly has a different dynamics. The second thing is that we believe that we are developing, as we speak, services around this product and around this project. Eventually, it may even get to the managed services. In some places, we have already longer-term agreements, so it's not only one project for one for 6 months or for a year or whatever. So altogether, I think overall, over time, we'll see more services and more, even to the level of managed services. And I tried just to give you more color about the project, because when you say project, it's actually quite different from project in the IT.
The next question is from Tom Roderick with Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Matt Van Vliet on for Tom. First question about the expansion of the Telefonica Argentina deal. Could you talk about what the process was of communicating with them, of taking on more work there, and then how that may impact the ability to expand within other businesses of Telefonica, as we've seen you guys do so successfully with Vodafone?
So, Matt, thank you very much for the question. The dynamics is quite simple. We pull the same trick, quote-unquote trick, every time. We just do a very good job in one space, and then we get additional work. Specifically, it's in Telefonica Argentina. Specifically, it's around taking more responsibility on their BSS space, set of applications. That is to say that we can provide testing and augmentation of technology. Sometimes it's around our product and our activities. Sometimes it's adjacent activities to with other people's products, sometimes homegrown product and services. But it's obviously it's in, within our domain expertise, so we really understand it better than anyone else. It's a very positive thing. It's a good trend that we see. I think it's something that we can repeat in other places within Telefonica, like again, we need to finish the transformation of Peru, but then we can offer the same thing in Peru or in Colombia or in other places. The second dimension is obviously to go out to other affiliates. Telefonica have a few other affiliates in Latin America and definitely have more affiliates in Europe that hopefully in the future will be able to help them as well. And so I would say it's the encouraging thing is that we are demonstrating the same value-based expansion. In other words, we bring more value, we get more work. We get more work, we bring more value. And that's like it's a positive cycle. And we demonstrated that in Vodafone in the last couple of years, definitely this year in FY14. By the way, we're still demonstrating it 25 years later in AT&T. And now we hope to do the same thing in Telefonica and in some other carriers that we just started the relationship this year. So I think it is repeatable. Now, in what pace, when, what scope, it's really hard to predict. But it's all built into the business model and our offering and our capability to provide these services all across the globe, because you need to have a very good engineers basically in all of these places. In this case, in Argentina or in Latin America in general, or in the Philippines or wherever it is.
Okay, and then looking at the U.S. Or the North American business, you talked about doing a bit of a sensitivity analysis on possible outcomes for consolidation. How wide of a range are you expecting between kind of the worst case and best case scenarios for the North American business?
Well, basically, we said before that everything we know, all the moving parts in North America, and all the unknowns. Of AT&T and Leap and AT&T and DirecTV and Comcast and Time Warner, and I mean you name it. We calculated all of that to create about a quarter ago. We thought that it's about a headwind of 1%. We believe that now that it's the same or better. How better it could be? I don't know. If it will be flat, it will be very nice. It will be plus, maybe not this year, maybe later on. Again, we believe that longer term, all of this requires highly complex, heavy lifting projects. There are very few people that can do it. Even some of the names that claim that they can do it, they cannot. And therefore, it usually provides an opportunity for MDOCs. Longer term. We've seen it all around the world, and it's more than 10 years that we have seen this now. It's not every year, it's not every place, and it's not guaranteed. But so this kind of the range that we gave before, that we basically updated this range to be same or better. That is to say that we feel slightly stronger in some of the cases. That's it. I mean, this is the best color I can give you. I think this is the best color we have. And again, we mentioned that we cannot calculate all the perpetration because, you know, if one of these big things will change or there is another consolidation tomorrow morning, we want to make sure that you understand what is in our calculation, what can we predict, even within several permutation, and what we cannot. So that's, again, maybe we had too many words there, but giving the other questions, but this is the color we can give you.
All right. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you, Matt.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. The next question is from Mark Sue with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Historically, when you're seeing consolidation and there's a lot of complex projects which have benefited Amdocs, can you talk about subsequently, was there any pricing negotiation or impact over the longer term after you saw these businesses reach steady state? And then separately, I just had a question on just kind of the moving parts in terms of deferred revenues, recognizing it does fluctuate. It does seem to be quite a bit down from last quarter.
Let me try to take the first question. I'll ask Tamar to respond to the second one, Mark. Look, in terms of pricing, we said more than once, we are very careful about negotiating things and selling things for a cheap price or for a low price. We're actually known to be probably the most expensive or one of the most expensive providers, and it's because we provide a lot of value. So, yes, when people consolidate, theory shows that they have a stronger leverage on you because these carriers becoming bigger. But I have to tell you that I don't think that they need to have this consolidation to have a leverage, and we always have this discussion, so I don't think that AT&T with another one or two companies is really a very different AT&T, or Vodafone with another one or two companies, or Telefonica with another one or two companies, and all of them are the consolidators. So, yes, pricing is always an issue. All of these carriers are under somewhat of a pressure. We keep on basically saying and executing on one dimension. We bring value, and this value worth the money. We never competed on price of individuals, on software, on licenses, on whatever. We provide much higher value, and on top of it, we provide almost zero risk because we don't fail projects. And the risk of failing a project is actually even more significant than saving a few million dollars here and there. It's not only that the money that they're going to spend in a failed project, which usually equates to tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, it's the time that they are losing. That is it's devastating to these carriers. So when you combine the value we bring on the positive thing like functionality, time to market, we provide the best infrastructure to these companies to go to succeed in their marketplace. And if we compound to that the risk, and if you can somehow calculate what the risk was, I think there is only one chance, one conclusion you can get to, that you need to go with Amdocs. And frankly, we have a very high win rate in the market in the last few years. So I think more and more people get it. Now, don't get it as we think we can get to 100% win rate or very close to that. You know, we have to be realistic. We have a lot of competitors. All of them are big names. All of them are trying hard. We're just being probably luckier, and we get better results eventually.
On the deferred revenue,
on the deferred revenue fluctuations, please.
Yeah. On the deferred revenue, we've seen a peak last quarter, and now back to the level we've had a year ago, primarily around some activities with North American customers. Nothing major there, other than the fact it's a combination of where the invoicing milestones specifically fall within a quarter relative to our progression within the project. Unlike a pure software player where deferred revenue can be a leading indicator, this is not the case in our business model, so I don't think you should associate too much into it. We will see fluctuations in deferred revenue coming in and out within quarters, quite typical.
Okay, understood. And then just lastly, on just cash flow, how we should think about CapEx for next year, depreciation expense, anything moving parts, working capital requirements that might change free cash flow for next year?
I think we'll elaborate more on that on the analyst day, but in general, we are not a capital-intensive business, and I don't expect that to change in any significant way.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you, and we'll see you in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
The next question is from S.K. Bora with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. It's mainly on operating margins. One, you were indicating towards increased focus on total revenues compared to just licensed revenue stream. What does that mean in terms of the margin profile, especially over the next 12 months? Is the margins for these total revenues you're talking about at the same level as licenses?
We are not pricing separately, usually, the license from the rest of the project. It's an overall deal negotiation. So the fact you are seeing license tracking up and down and fluctuating within the quarters is not therefore not necessarily changing the margin profile because it's part of an overall project with a certain margin. Therefore, also looking into next year, I don't think that necessarily the element of license proportion out of total revenue is a major factor, if at all a factor, within the way we look on our expectations for margin. And there are many other elements, of course, that flow into the expectations on margins, which are beyond this point specifically.
Okay, and probably more from a medium-term perspective, beyond the operational leverage in the model, are there any incremental drivers for operating margin expansion you see in the next few years?
Well, you know, we said more than once that we're trying to balance between operating the machine better and do more software with less people or faster while maintaining the growth of the company, which is fed by very, very complex projects. So you have to be very careful that it's not like a steady machine. You just need to oil it better. And that's why we are showing, and I'm proud of it, that we are showing a creeping up of the margins without risking the growth profile of the company. And we'll try to do the same thing in the future. The other thing you need to remember is that we are, every time we can actually afford to do it, we are expanding on some of the new initiatives. So if we will, for example, stop some of the or slow down some of the emerging markets penetration, obviously, you can get a better margin because all of this penetration project comes with a profile of low margin. It's like the nature of this penetration. I don't think it's the stuff that we want to do for the sake of the midterm, the long term of the company. So when you balance all of that, I think that we can be within the range. We've been doing better in the last year or so than before. And if there is a way to improve it further, we'll do it. But we're not trying to guide to that at all. And so I don't want to build any expectations for further expansion of operating margins. We ticked it up 20 basis points this time. We felt that it is the right thing to do. We can meet it. The future, we'll see in the future.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Saskia.
We have no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back to Matthew Smith for closing remarks.
Thank you, Ellen, and thank you very much, everyone, for joining our call this evening and for your continued interest in Amdocs. We look forward to hearing from you in the coming days, and if you've got any additional questions, please call the Investor Relations Group. Have a great evening, and with that, we'll conclude the call.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.